your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, Jesus, his style of ministry was a very powerful style of ministry. And his actions, his style of reaching people, touching people, is for us a paradigm to follow. And today I want us to glean some things from his public ministry that for us will provide great guidance. And by the way, if you look at his life and what he did and how he did it, these same principles can be applied in your own business for you to be successful as you focus upon what God wants you to focus upon. These principles are very powerful. So why don't you follow along with me as I read to you out of Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, as we look at that passage, there is nothing more exciting than to emulate what he did. And if you and I will be men and women who will be able to hook men and women for faith in Christ and be able to cry out, "Fish on," we are going to have to do the following. Number one, we need to plan on fishing. And that is a simple thing, but you and I are to be men and women who have a plan in place to fish. In fact, it needs to be part of our life even when we are met with discouragement from other people. This is what we are about. I want you to look at a verse that I did not read that comes at the end of the story before, and then you find Jesus just picking up and going on. Look at verse 34. It says this, "But the Pharisees said, 'It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons.'" Now, that went off his back like water off of a duck's back. It did not disturb him. It did not discourage him. He just kept on doing what God had called him to do. You know why? Because he planned on fishing. And you and I need to have that plan regardless. Regardless of what you've ever experienced, regardless of how people have ever responded to you, it's important that you and I plan on fishing. And by that phrase, fishing, I'm talking about sharing Christ with other people. I'm talking about sharing your personal story with other people, how you turn from your sin and you place your faith in Christ. That is that same kind of analogy that parallels actual fishing. That's why Jesus said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So if you're going to be a fisherman, you've got to plan on it. If you don't plan to fish, you won't fish. And it's so easy to get distracted with other things in the Christian life other than fishing. Remember what Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who were lost." That's what he was about. That's what his intent is, and it should be our intent as well, not just to get fat and happy and get deep and rooted in the Word of God, which is very, very important, but you and I need to have that mentality of seeking to win other people to faith in Christ. And it needs to be along this line. Number one, you and I need to see ourselves joining with Christ, joining with God, partnering with God. I want you to listen to his plan of intention to fish. You know John 3:16, don't you? Let's say that out loud together. "For God so loved the world that he only begotten, that whosoever shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's God's intention and plan to fish. So you and I need to join him. You and I need to line up and do what he's doing. Remember, Jesus said, the Son of Man only does what he sees the Father doing. So your life and my life, our church, ought to be lined up with what God's doing. And you know what God does? He fishes. He fishes for people like you and me and all kinds of people. So therefore, a second thing needs to happen. We need to get equipped. We need to get equipped to fish. It's important not just to go, well, I think I'm fishing, but I don't have any tools to fish. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you took a lesson to do anything? Sometimes taking lessons, it's a difficult thing. My daughter got married last week, which I'm so thankful that the drama is through for now. But one of the things I had to do was to take dance lessons. I'm somewhat rhythmically challenged. I can do the water sprinkler, but to do a waltz and all those kinds of things, I mean, oh, goodness. And I had to get out of my comfort level in order to do some of those things. The video will go on sale, but we'll use that for some other day. But it's important for us to realize there are times that we need lessons, that we need to get equipped in order to share Christ with other people. And that's important. Have you done anything to prepare yourself in order to fish for other people to come to faith in Christ? And you need to learn to cast. Oh my goodness, learning to cast is very important if you're going to be a fisherman. Just because you have a pole, it doesn't cast itself. You need to learn how to cast, and you need to learn how to place the line in the right place at the right time, at the right point. And that's important. And that is something that you and I need to learn to do, and how to actually present the information of the gospel to other people. That's exactly what Jesus did, and you and I need to do the same thing. You also need to study your species. If you're fishing for all kinds of different fish, you need to understand everything you can know about different kinds of fish. Now, when I moved up here to the Midwest, I had never gone walleye fishing at all. Ever. I had never done that, but I caught my first northern pike and my first walleye when I moved up here. Now, I'd caught smallmouth, and those were always fun to catch, but walleye, you fish totally different for them. Northern pike, you fish much like you would fish for largemouth bass. They respond differently. And you know, walleye, I was disappointed that they didn't fight more. But I got over that after I ate some, because they're really good fish, probably the best fish there is. But you have to learn everything you can about those species, of where they go, what they eat, where they swim. And the same thing is true about reaching people for Christ. It's not one size fits all. You need to learn to become a student of human nature and a collector of different kinds of friends, because we're all so different. And it's so important that you and I understand the people that we're trying to reach. If you witness to someone down in the South, they respond a little bit differently than people in the Midwest. The people in the East respond differently than the people in the West. You need to understand, but the great need is still the same. But you need to understand what is part of their makeup. My first pastorate was in West Texas, and West Texas cowboys are really straightforward. If they don't like something, they'll tell you right then and there. They don't care if they offend you or not. When you ask them if you'll do this, they'll either say yes and they will, or no, they won't. A lot of people in different places will just placate to whatever they think someone wants them to say, but not so much West Texas cowboys. Their yes is yes, their no is no. Different people in different locations respond differently to the claims of Christ, but they all need to respond to Christ. But you need to understand the species, the people that you're trying to reach. It's different when you talk to an 8-year-old as compared to someone who's 18. It's different when you're talking to someone who is in their 20s and expecting their first child. Different from talking to someone who's in their middle age or who have lived a long life and there's been a lot of water underneath their bridge. And they're going through different experiences right now. It's different when you talk to somebody who is fighting some kind of physical illness and someone who is knowing that their time on this earth may not be long. You need to study the species, and you need to understand what other people are going through and what they're experiencing. You find Jesus doing that, and we'll see that a little bit later. Also, I would tell you that you need to invest in some resources. You need to invest in resources to help you fish. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any books about sharing Christ with other people? Do you know how to do that? Have you invested in buying any tracts? Have you studied any apologetics, how you would defend the gospel and be able to answer people's questions when they are wrestling academically or intellectually with some thought that is seemingly a stumbling block for them to come to faith in Christ? And by the way, you can invest in all of those things, and that's very, very important for you to equip yourself. But what keeps people from coming to faith in Christ is their own will and their own awareness and conviction that they are a sinner and in desperate need of forgiveness. It's not about your intellectual acumen. It's not about your ability to convince someone. This is not an argument intellectually. It's about sharing the plain truth of the gospel that Jesus came to die and shed his blood for your sin and my sin, and he came alive on the third day, and he's coming back again. And those who come to faith in Christ will have all their sins forgiven and be able to have a relationship with God both now and forever. And they stand completely forgiven from all their past sins, present sins, and their future sins. They become a child of God. They are actually born again. It's a brand new beginning. You need to be able to share that with people and understand that it's important that you learn how to do that. And I pray that you invest and spend whatever you got to spend in order to learn how to share Christ with other people. You've got to have the gear. All fishermen have a lot of lures, and some of those lures they have several of, especially if they're lucky lure. It's important, and any lucky lure is one lure that you caught fish with. And so therefore, it's important that you understand you don't throw the same lure at every fish. But you got to invest in some resources. You need to be able to have some things like tracts. You need to have some Bibles that you can give away. But you need to be able to tell your story in an easy way to other people that need Christ. Also, you need to plan on fishing by enlisting a fishing buddy. I don't know about you, but I don't like to go hunting by myself. I don't like to go golfing by myself. And I definitely don't like to fish by myself. You need a fishing buddy. Now, that fishing buddy is going to help you be accountable. They're also going to be there to share the joys and also give you some feedback as to how you're fishing. And that's important. Now, that fishing buddy for you, winning other people to faith in Christ, maybe somebody that can keep you accountable, someone that you can talk to and decompress with after you've talked to somebody about Christ and they didn't receive Jesus and trying to say, well, what do you think I should say or what do you think I should do? You need somebody in your life to help hold you accountable and speak truth into your life in love, as well as there are times that you can do that together. And there are opportunities. Quite frankly, today, you will possibly have an opportunity to share Christ with someone and to engage with someone. Many of you will go out to eat following this worship service, depending upon how long I preach. And so, therefore, you're going to have a server. And instead of focusing only on that server giving you great service, Have you ever thought about beginning to pray for them and even pray now that God would put you at the right table with someone who desperately needs a word of encouragement? And maybe it will be someone that you'll just get a chance to pray for, or some waiter or waitress that you will have a chance to come back to that restaurant, and because of that relationship of your care and your investment in them, be able to earn the right to share Jesus with them because you actually cared about their life. And this day was more about not eating food as to sharing Christ. That will fill you up more than anything else. It will charge your batteries, and nothing is more exciting than to do that. And by the way, if indeed you share Christ or you pray for your waiter or waitress, give them a big tip. Many of them, that's the majority of their income. And if you share Christ with them, who is the greatest gift of all, and you're a little cheesy with your gratuity, that doesn't speak much or speak well of the graciousness of God. So everybody ought to be wanting to wait on you, looking forward to your graciousness, but also because you care about them. But you need a fishing buddy. And here's another thing. You plan on fishing by intentionally going fishing. You know, a lot of people plan trips, but never do anything. You and I need to intentionally go fishing. Look at verse 35. The Bible says this, that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. So he actually went out. Now remember, his public ministry was only 3.5 years. And strategically, he went from one town to another town to another village to another village to one city to another city. He cast, he trolled, he threw nets, he literally intentionally went. Now let me ask you a question. When's the last time you intentionally connected with someone with the very purpose of sharing Christ with them? That's probably too long. It's important that you and I intentionally go fishing. You know, a lot of people think what Christianity is getting saved and get seated. But Jesus wants us to be on the front lines with him. He wants us to be in the bow of the boat with him. He wants us to engage with him to win people to faith in Christ. And if the church today would be as aggressive as the ministry of Jesus was, we would never be able to hold all the people in all the churches. And that's what we are to be about. Fishing. Not just studying fishing, but actual fishing. Not watching movies about fishing, but fishing. Your hands need to get wet. They need to get sunburned. They need to get a little gritty because you have been casting the line, because you've been engaging with other people. And that's important. Many of us, it's much easier for us to sit in a church and learn how to do it, but never do it. Do you know the statistic is that 9 out of 10 people never win someone to faith in Christ? 9 out of 10 Christians never have the privilege of winning another person to faith in Christ. Not even their own kids. You know why that's true? Because they don't fish. It is unthinkable that someone who has had a saving experience with Christ would have lockjaw and not want to tell other people about Jesus. That's what we're to be about. When I gave my life to Christ at 12 years of age, I had the privilege of leading 4 or 5 of my friends to faith in Jesus within the next week. Why? Because you couldn't stop me. I had to tell someone else that I met Christ and they needed Jesus. I wanted them to have who I had. You see, some of us have gotten saved and we got over it. And we just got seated, and we want to go deep. We want to go real deep. But the problem is, the deeper we go, the more we get drowned out. And God has called us to be men and women busy about fishing. I need to calm down now or else I'll start preaching. Number two, you need to practice fishing. Practice fishing. His public ministry didn't launch until he was 30, but once he started and once he launched, he didn't stop. And you and I, the moment we pray to receive Christ and we begin to share the gospel with others, we need to keep practicing doing that. Being here today is a wonderful thing. God bless you for being here today, but this is not all there is. I want you to get out of this church, and I want you to get into the field. I want you to get on the lake. I want you to get on the rivers. I want you to be in the oceans, because God's going to use you to tell other people about Christ. I can't go where you go. I'd like to go where you go sometimes. I have to work in an office with a bunch of Christians, and that's quite frankly pretty boring at times. But you are right on the front edge. Don't take for granted that everybody you work with or everyone you live around know Christ. You and I need to be men and women who practice fishing. As Jesus did this, I really think that you and I need to do it too. By practicing fishing, I mean, think about it mentally, about envisioning what you will do. Before I ever engage in conversation with someone about Christ, I begin to think in my mind, what am I getting ready to say? What kind of question am I going to be able to ask? And I begin to pray right then and there, Lord, would you make me sensitive, not to what I want to say, but what you want to say? Because you know what's going on in their life, and I don't. And it's amazing, if you will pray and ask God, he will give you the right thoughts to think and the right words to craft in order to engage with other people and point them to Jesus. So mentally envision what you'll do. Intellectually think about what you will do and what you will say and how you will respond to someone who may have a question. By the way, sharing your faith in Christ is not about winning an argument. Let me say that over and over again. It's not about winning an argument. It's not convincing them to think like you think. It is about simply sharing the facts and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring personal conviction that they are a sinner in desperate need of Christ's forgiveness. And you and I just need to let that flow and not take it personally when someone says no, or I've got questions, or treat it like a debate. Now, knowing apologetics is wonderful, but it's not everything. But you need to intellectually be able to think through that. You need to learn how to think how fish are what they're thinking and what they're wanting and what they are needing. That's what great fishermen do. They know the bait. They know the time, they know the presentation. Look at this, Jesus here in this passage, the Bible says, he taught in their synagogues and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now, watch this. You see, some needed teaching, others just needed hope. Some needed practical needs in their life met. And that's where Jesus went. He saw what they need and met them right there. And then all of them desperately needed compassion. That's what the next verse says. He saw them and was compassionate on them, seeing them as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And though he saw the big crowd, he also saw them individually. And he cares, and you need to know he still cares, and he wants to care for other people through you. And therefore, it's important that you and I begin to think about what other people need. What are they going through? This is not about just you giving a canned approach to the gospel and getting through your outline so you can get to the ask. It's about caring about what they are feeling and begin to listen. And many of us, if we just listen a little bit more before we start engaging our tongue, it would help us to be more effective in winning people to faith in Jesus. Observationally, watch others fish. Be around individuals who are sharing their faith. And if you're not around people who share their faith, maybe you need to be the one that other people are watching. Fishermen learn a lot from watching other fishermen fish. you learn a great deal. Verbally, talk it out. Talk it out about how you would share your faith. Practice saying what you would say. Practice telling your story. When's the last time you told your story about how you got saved, how you were born again, what brought you to your senses, and you turned from your sin and placed your faith in Christ? When's the last time you talked that out and shared that story with someone? It's important that you learn to do that. Progressively learn different ways to talking to different people. That's important because all people are different, and some will respond with a very direct presentation. Others, they would rather process, and they would rather have questions asked and help them walk through that. Learn how to share Christ with different kinds of people. Pre-fish, that's a third thing that you can do. Y'all great tournament fishermen, they pre-fish. They go out on those lakes and they go out wherever they're fishing on a river before a tournament, and they learn where the fish are. They go outside their comfort level, especially if they're fishing in brand new water that they've never fished before, and they learn the structure, they learn the terrain. But first of all, you need to hear that they get in the boat and they are committed to fish. And you and I need to just make a commitment in our hearts and our lives that we're going to line up with the Lord and start where you are right now. Learn the terrain. Just open your eyes up right now of all the opportunities that you have presently in your neighborhood and in your office and in the relationships you have to begin to share Christ with other people. Maybe it will start with your kids. Learn to fish where fish go at different times. When people go through experiences in their life, when there are hurts or pains or challenges, they are more open to the gospel than any other time. And here's what's the problem today. A lot of us, when people are going through pain in their lives, or they go through some difficult thing in their life, instead of engaging with them, we try to avoid them because we're afraid we'll say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. But here's the wrong thing, not to do anything, not to say anything. The very deal is that when you see somebody walking through a difficult time, don't rush out, rush in. That's what a real friend does. A real friend rushes in when the whole world's rushing out. And that's important. That's why you and I need to be very sensitive to people who are going through personal challenges in their life, because those are great places to fish. Also, stay positive. Stay positive. When you share the gospel, you need to be very positive. Jesus sure was, regardless of what people said. In fact, here he says in verse 37, the harvest is plentiful. I mean, he knew that there were a lot of people to reach. It's like one shoe salesman that was sent to Africa responded totally different than another shoe salesman that was sent to Africa. One said, give me a transfer. Nobody here wears shoes. The other salesman said, give me everything that's in the warehouse. Everybody needs shoes. You are living in a day and time where people have a lot of knowledge about religion but have no idea about a relationship with Jesus Christ that could change their lives. We've got a lot of religion but a lot less relationship with Christ. And it's important that you and I stay positive and understand that nothing is more exciting than sharing the gospel with someone else who doesn't know Jesus. And remain at the task. Don't stop. Remain at the task. Just don't do this for 2 weeks and go, okay, got that out of my system. It needs to be part of your life. And if you'll be sensitive to the Spirit of God, God will bring people across your path. And sometimes they'll engage with you before you even engage with them. This last week I was in my truck riding with someone, and this individual said to me, you know, last time I came to your church, I really had a question in my heart about how God speaks. How do I know God is speaking to me? And he said, and you spoke on that subject that day. I looked at him and I said, well, how's that working for you right now? He said, I'm still a little confused. And then I just said, well, let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever had a one-time experience where you've turned from your sin and placed your faith in Christ and given him total charge of your life? He looked at me and said, no, I haven't. I said, that's why you're having trouble hearing him. because you don't know him. He went, whoa. And I said, but you can. And he said, this forgiveness thing, I have no idea about that. How does that work? And I began to share just my heart with him and about what it means to be forgiven and that Jesus died on the cross to cover his sin. And he looked at me and said, I'm not good with that at all. So you're telling me I need to surrender to Jesus? I said, yeah, you do. Because you have everything to lose, like your sin, and everything to gain. And that's a relationship with Christ that will last forever. He said, whoa, I got to think about that. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of times that you will fish. You'll cast more than you catch. But you got to keep casting so you'll eventually do some catching. It's not about the catching. It's about the faithfulness in casting that God has called us to do. And it's important that we trust him. There's one last word I want to share with you, and that is simply this. Pray. Pray. Verse 38 describes that, praying for workers. But let me tell you something. When you are sharing Christ with other people, pray that you will be prepared. Pray that you will pick the right lure that captures their attention, that you say the right thing. Pray that you'll be able to make the right cast. You see, that's important. There are a lot of people who don't know how to cast, and they can't put that lure in the right place. It's essential that you learn how to place the lure in front of the fish, not behind him, but where he's going. And it's important that you're sensitive about that. Pray that God would give you the wisdom how to use the information that you already have and the verses that you've already given to your memory in a way that makes sense to people. And then you need to pray that you can set the hook. Presenting Christ to someone is about setting the hook. Unless you set the hook, you're never going to catch the fish. It's not just giving the information and say, I'll pray for you, see you. You got to ask them, would you like to give your life to Christ right now? Ask them if you could pray with them and lead them in a prayer like you pray to receive Christ. So simple. But let me tell you something. You set the hook totally different with different kind of fishing rods and different kinds of fish. Some fishing rods, you reach back and you set it hook. You try to break the fish's neck, because you want the hook to go all the way in the mouth. That's usually with pretty hard-headed people. That sometimes you just got to be very direct, and they like that kind of directness. That's how they would respond. Others, not so much. Fly fishing is much like the finesse that is important. This is somebody's fly rod that's got the reel on backwards. It's not mine. It's probably Dan Norton's. But anyway, fly fishing is so much fun. It's about finesse. And when you, don't worry, I'm not going to get you. Of course, some of you, I would really like to hook. But as you lay that line out, as you share the gospel and someone begins to respond to Christ, in fly fishing, you can see the twitch of your line, or you if you have a strike indicator on it, you'll see it go down. And with fly fishing, because you use little small hooks, you don't set it hard. You just begin to take up the slack and allow the end of the rod to bear the weight, and you just allow the fish to hook themselves. You know, it's so easy. And the same thing is true for you and for me. If we're going to respond to the tug of the Spirit of God and witnessing to people, at the same time, you and I need to be very gentle with people. And that sensitivity of how to set the hook and how to invite people and when to invite people to respond to Christ. If you're listening to the Spirit of God, he'll show you the difference, whether you have a northern pike on or a walleye with a very soft bite. And you and I just need to be sensitive to other people and listen to the Spirit of God. But you need to learn how to intercede for people who need to be saved. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he writes these words, I urge then, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Here's the deal. God wants all men to come to Christ. That's His desire. And you and I need to be praying for people to come to faith in Jesus. That's where it all starts. It's not starting with you getting all the information. You, quite frankly, if you've given your life to Christ, you have all the information you need. It's just one beggar sharing with another beggar where he found bread. If you could tell somebody about how God spoke to your heart and convicted you of your sin, and you threw yourself helplessly and hopelessly on Christ, and you invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you've got enough information right there to lead someone to faith in Jesus. Right there, right then. But you know what? A lot of us, we haven't even prayed. We literally haven't even prayed for some of our friends and some of our family members. This morning, inside your bulletin, everyone who got a bulletin, there were two of these cards. And it's simply, I'm praying for, it has real evangelism, that they may know Christ. And there are five places for you to put their name down. And here's what I want to invite you to do right now. I'm going to ask you in your heart, you don't have to bow your head and close your eyes. You can pray right now. When you just ask the Spirit of God to bring to your mind right now the names of people that you need to be praying for to come to faith in Jesus. You know who they are. The five men that I put down on my card that I placed in this boat earlier in the first service, I mean, their names came just like that. It's a couple of men that I've shared Christ with that, who aren't ready yet, and some that God's just placed them on my heart to pray for, and I've been praying that God would open up a door of a relationship with them for me to share the gospel with, because it's the greatest thing that they could ever hear. And I don't want to leave this planet without telling them that they need Christ. Do you realize it doesn't all depend on you? But can you imagine just spending your life making a living but never making a difference? And your life can really make a difference if you will begin to pray for some people to come to faith in Christ, and then you take another step to share Jesus with them. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do right now, because there is a test. I want you to take this card out right now, and I'd like for you to fill it out right now. Now, here's what the deal is. At the end of the service, I'm going to invite you to come up here and place these cards after we say amen, and everybody's starting to exit. I'm going to ask you to place these cards in the boat. And we're going to take these cards, and we're going to email the heck out of them. And then we're going to spam them with everything we can. And we're going to find out their names and their addresses. We're going to knock on every door. No, we're not. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to intercede. Our prayer teams are going to get on their face before God. Our staff is going to be praying for these people by name, and you will be praying for them. This card is not for you to keep. It's for you to share so that we as a church family can start to pray for these people who need Christ. There are hundreds of names already here right now from the early service, and I want you to add some of those names of some people that you know God has brought to your mind. You may not even know their spiritual condition, but God's placed them on your heart right now. Write their name down, would you? If you got at least five of them, great. If you don't only have a couple, that's okay. If you only have one, that's all right. Write their name down and begin to pray for them. Let me tell you something. I've done this for years, and some people, I've written their name in the front of my Bible and have prayed for them for years before they came to faith in Christ. This is what we're about. This is what we are about. Church, this is what we're about. We fish. Would you let us pray for some of the species in your life that God has brought? Some of them will be your family members. Some of them will be your dear friends. Some of them will be people who live right across the street from you. or you work with side by side. Some of these people are people you love. It could be some of these people are people you have a hard time getting along with, but you know they need Jesus. Have you ever thought that may be one of the reasons why they're such a difficult person? Because they're unhappy. People in pain cause pain. And they need Jesus. Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you? Aren't you glad somebody prayed for you? Maybe it was just your mama who prayed for you. But her prayers got answered, and that's why you are sitting in this building today rather than 6 feet under, because someone cared about you. Some of you are having trouble with your spouses. Have you ever thought that maybe you're married to somebody who doesn't know Christ or so far away from him they can't see straight? You can go to all the counselors in the world, but unless someone's heart gets right with God, it's never going to create a relationship that's going to go anywhere. You don't need to leave them. You need to begin to intercede for them right now. Put their name down. In the moment we say amen, come bring that card and put it in one of the boats, would you? There's not a service that I have ever preached that I can ever remember in my life, regardless of what I've ever preached on, whether it's been business ethics or doctrine or some pastoral care message, that I haven't invited people to come to faith in Jesus. Because let me tell you something. That's the most important thing. And I have no doubt there are some people here today who have never met him. I didn't say you weren't a member of the church. In fact, I really tell you, I believe there are people who are members of churches who are going to split hell wide open because they got a lot of religion, but they don't have a relationship with Christ. They've been really busy, but they've never truly repented of their sin and given their life to Christ. Maybe you're one of those. Maybe you're watching online, you've never given your life to Christ. Or maybe you're watching by television, you've never done that. I pray that this moment, if you know and you're knower that you don't know him, that you have never given your life to Christ, I pray that this would be the moment that you'd cry out in prayer to him. In fact, you don't even have to close your eyes. When that thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your glory," I bet he had his eyes wide open because God knows your heart. And if that's where you are, why don't you just make this your prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I really am. And I invite you to come and take charge of my life and make me your child. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and coming alive again from the grave. Jesus, please save me and make me yours. You make that your prayer right now. And on the authority of the Word of God, I tell you, you have eternal life, and no one but no one will ever take it away from you. And that's a wonderful thing. But maybe you just need to pray, "Oh God, help me get over my lockjaw and begin to speak for Christ." Why don't you bow your head? Father, I thank you that in this place you speak to your children. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to your children so specifically that you would put that holy discomfort inside of our lives, regardless of how long we've known you. Help us move to the place of beginning to share your son with other people. Help us share the good news of Jesus. Help us start doing it today. Help us not miss a moment. Give us that holy tension that only you can give. And then, Lord, help us open our mouths and trust you for the right words and the results. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.